and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest. This man was a footballing superstar for the Port Adelaide Football Club. He also was their senior coach, and he now resides on the Gold Coast, which is how I met him. It's Matthew Primus. How are you doing today, Matt?
Good evening. Good afternoon, Goff. I'm going very well, thanks, mate.
That's good news. Now, how I did meet you, of course, was you do some work out at the gym that I train at with some special needs folks. I'm curious, A, how you came into that line of work after a football career, and also what you've learned while working with special needs people.
Well, before we get into that, it's down at the swimming pool with a couple of my clients, and I saw this man in his Speedos glistening in oil, and that was you, mate, and he caught my eye, and we got chatting. But
hello, ladies.
Yes, exactly right. But no, look, I finished up here coaching, assistant coaching at the Gold Coast Suns, and then did some assistant coaching at Southport Sharks, and that was sort of part-time, and just keep my foot in the water with footy. And our property manager works at Gold Coast Recreation and Sport, has for 30, 40 years, I think. And so I was looking for something else to do, and I'd been interested in what he had brought some clients along when we'd gone on camps or training or when we travelled, and looked really interesting job. So he got me in touch with the CEO there and went down there for an interview, and nearly been there 2 years in February. So
do you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's rewarding. Work with a cool bunch of staff and a amazing bunch of clients. We're over about 150 clients now, I think it is, ranging from all sorts of disabilities as far as you can see. And
I'm assuming this is the first time you've worked with folks with disabilities?
Yes, I suppose in the footy environment, which was my life, a majority of my adult life, you meet them and, you bring them through your facilities or training or games and those sorts of things, but to actually work with them 24/7 per se, not 24/7, but, 5 days a week with different guys. And as our company says, sport and recreation, we do sporting activities from surfing, gym, bowling, weights, running, swimming, you name it, we do it, to, drawing and art and acting and all sorts of things.
What have you learned?
Oh, look, what I've learned is how lucky I am to have some healthy daughters, but secondly, these people just open up your eyes to what you can achieve and how lucky they are that we have a government or a country that gives them the funding to go and live normal lives, which they should be able to. But, to take them out in places, it's, some of the funniest days I've ever had in my life is going out surfing with a bunch of blokes or, they all love their 10-pin bowling, whatever it is. They're just terrific people that you make a real connection with. You learn a fair bit about yourself, but you also learn, some totally different skills that I wouldn't have had if I had not branched into this area. So it's been great.
That's cool, man. Very cool indeed. Now, I'm a football nut, so let's get into it. So I've done no research. It's just what I know. So if I get something wrong, feel free to correct me. So you were drafted to Fitzroy. Now, Fitzroy at the time was a bit of a basket case because they had no money. Now, I've seen a documentary with Alistair Lynch, and he said that sometimes they turn up to training and there'd be padlocks on the gate and they're like, well, where do we train? What do we do? Now, what was it like as a young bloke being drafted to a team like Fitzroy? What was that like?
Yeah, it was an eye-opener. I was only there their final year, so I missed all those, Alistair Lynch and Paul Roos and all the legends of that football club. But, yeah, look, I came from Norwood in the SANFL. That was a pretty wealthy, successful club that sort of did everything at that level for their players, and you didn't go without anything. So you get drafted to the AFL and you think it's going to be better again. And we trained on Coburg Oval. We shared it with a VFL team, so they trained on half, we trained on half. They fixed up drainage during halfway through the season and didn't repair, they just filled in with dirt and it sogged away and the pipes came through on the ground. We shared footies with them. I went to a couple of games when our sponsors, which was Nauru at the time, I think were our backers, and Ireland, they sort of pulled their funding, so they didn't have insurance on it, and the question was, do you want to play? Because, we understand if you get injured, there might be question marks on that. And it was like, wow, this is amazing what's going on. But what a torture was to, don't worry about the outside noise. Just work on your habits of training, and when you turn up to play game day, try and put everything out of sight, which is really hard because by middle of the year, I think we'd merge with Brisbane.
Yeah.
Or and then, you know, I think we knew that Brisbane could take about 10 of our players. So there was players trying to get on show to get a job with Brisbane, and then other players trying to, you know, get picked up from other clubs. So it was really difficult. In the last couple of weeks, we think we played our last game at the MCG in front of about 60, 70,000, which we'd been playing in front of 8 or 10,000 at the Witten Oval. but we got smashed there. And then we played the last game in Perth against Freo.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah. The
Are you dirty at the AFL? Because I was listening to Andy Maher and Bob Murphy the other day, and they were saying what a disgrace it was that the AFL made a game against Fremantle in Perth, knowing that this was going to be Fitzroy's last year, and they'd not done it at the MCG for their very last game.
Yeah, look, at the time, you were that just caught up in the emotion of, you know, you didn't realise Fitzroy had been around for so long.
Yeah.
And they had, even though they hadn't had success for probably 5, 6 years, but before that they'd been thereabouts and had some pretty good players, but it had been a barren patch there for a period of time. But you realise how many supporters there were out there, and probably playing that game with the MCG, which is our last one in Melbourne, but the second last one of the year, to have 50 or 60, whatever it was, turn up, it's 1,000.
It was Richmond, wasn't it? You got done Richmond, by about 120 points.
Yeah, we got smashed, but it was like, wow, the feeling for this club is huge. And, yeah, it would have been great to finish, looking back on it now, to finish your last game at the MCG, but it wasn't to be. But, you know, there was a hell of a lot of fans made the trip over to Perth, and Freo did a pretty good job of sending the club off. And, you know, the club's just gone, though the competition's just gone from strength to strength. So disappointed that they weren't able to keep in their own rights, but we see how tough a game it is financially, in the last couple of years with COVID coming around.
Well, I was thinking about it because you have a look at that team, and I know that you were all a bunch of young lads pretty much because all the senior blokes have buggered off. But when you look at that team and the talent that was actually there, you know, Chris Johnson, Paxman, like it goes on and on and on, they actually would have been like 5 years down the track. If they had kept all those lads together, they could have been like something.
Yeah, well, what it showed to me was that the ability to get a stable club. You know, we only have to look at the clubs that are up the top of the ladder are stable, boardroom level, coaching level, whatever it is, and you need that to have success. And unfortunately, Fitzroy weren't. But you're right, they had some great players. Martin Pike went on and played in four premierships, and Chris Johnson played, you know, well over 200 games and three flags, and John Barker played a lot of games. Yeah, there was a lot of individual players that went off and had pretty good careers.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, they weren't able to due to what was happening off the field financially with the club, and, you know, there was obviously a lot of stuff going on that we weren't aware of. So, yeah, it was a great time to look back on, and thankful that I ended up being at a really successful, strong club off the field, but also the ability just to, whatever happens Monday to Friday, put that out of your mind and come prepared to play, because that you can make sure that doesn't impact your performance.
Well, as you said, so Brisbane had the opportunity to pick you up. They said no because they had enough ruckman. Now, you are an SA fella to begin with. Were you a bit shitty that Brisbane turned you down? Was a bit of a kick in the guts? Or were you like, oh, I'm glad because I'd love to go to Port Adelaide, or did you want to stay in Melbourne? Like, what was your thinking at the end of that year?
Yeah, well, I think Brisbane wanted to have me.
Oh, did they?
I think they wanted. We were sort of told roundabout ways. Who knows? But there was five or six players they wanted, but they had to take. I forget if it was 10 or 12. Anyhow, they wanted, you know, Chris Johnson, Jared Malloy, Brad Boyd, John Barker, and maybe one or two others that they wanted, and the rest maybe we'll get them. But it was like, well, if we go up to Brisbane, well, my thinking was, if I go up to Brisbane, and, you know, don't quite make it or not getting a game, then you're playing in the local league up there, you get lost to footy pretty quick. Yeah. And that local league wasn't a strong standard at the time. So I said no, and I think Brisbane and Port Adelaide did a deal at the time when they were coming in the next year.
Yes.
You know, they were allowed to take a certain amount of unrestricted free agents and listed players from a couple of clubs, and they did a deal with Brisbane. And obviously I knew Port Adelaide from playing against them at Nord, knew what they stood for, knew that if I didn't get a game with Port Adelaide, I'd be playing in the SANFL, which is a really strong competition. So it was probably more of a footy decision overall. And
the right one?
Well, who knows? Brisbane won three flags and beat us a handful of times when I was playing them. But, yeah, who knows? But, look, I was happy with the decision, and they were an outstanding club.
And so you had Mark Williams for most of your professional career as a footballer, as your coach. Now, from my understanding, from things I've heard, he's a bit of an unusual dude, is Mark Williams. He's got a very good sense of humour and whatnot. Can you tell us a little bit about Mark Williams as a coach?
Well, Choco, as we call him, he is a coach. Like if you know, the word coach or teacher, that's what he is. He's just, he loves teaching and coaching the game or anything, really. He's a teacher by trade, but loves football, got a great pedigree, obviously. But, you know, he's now with the Melbourne Footy Club, came on last year, and he just loves teaching kicking, marking, anything about footy. Just loves being out, getting his hands dirty and teaching guys about the game. And that's what he's, even when we've become a really good team, we're winning lots of games, he was always just wanting to teach guys, you know, picking up little things, whether the way you kick, the mark, using your body, all those sorts of things, even though some senior coaches probably shy away from the skill aspect and game plan and relationships, which he was very good at. He just loved teaching people, and he's going to have that in his DNA till the day he dies. And that's what players who work for him and coach under him love about him. But people from the outside go, oh, this guy's just full on intense all the time. But he just wants to make every individual better. That's his number one aim. And, you know, wherever he's gone, he improved players and the club.
Any humorous stories? Because apparently he can come out with a good one liner when push comes to shove, by all reports.
Yeah, well, he loves telling stories, and I think his favourite one, which has been told a few times before, and I don't exactly know how it goes, but he was at a big dinner when he was captain of Collingwood. Would have been in the 80s, I suppose, and Princess Di was over at the function, and Mark loves his rock music and loves his dancing, rock and roll dancing. And as he is, he's got more front than Maya, he went up and asked Princess Di for a dance. And that was seen a bit of a taboo, like, you know, putting your hand on the queen, you don't do that. Went up and had a dance with Princess Di on the dance floor. She obviously was, who the hell is this bloke coming up here, the big gollygold hair he had. And but he said, I want to have a dance with you, and had a dance on the dance floor with Princess Di. And that probably tells you what kind of fella he is. He's he doesn't take a step backwards, and he's not going to miss an opportunity to enjoy a great moment. But just terrific. Yeah, he made it fun. You never knew what you're up for, training drills, meetings.
Are you happy that you had him as your coach?
Oh, outstanding. Yeah. Loved him. He made me better, made me captain, made me a really good leader. You know, and we still keep in touch regularly now, and yeah, just an outstanding person.
That's cool, man. Very cool indeed. Now, in 2004, obviously, Port Adelaide won the flag, but sadly for you, you were injured. In fact, sadly for you, Matt, you didn't have a lot of luck with your body throughout your career, but well, I mean, you could have played 250 odd games. You only end up playing about 140 odd, but it's you know, your body just, it's just unfortunate.
That's what it is, the genes, hey? Yeah, three knee reconstructions. That was about the only injuries I had. You know, a few broken thumbs here and there, but three knee ACLs, and you know, that's a year of footy gone.
Yeah. So it was your knee in 2004.
Yeah. So I did one in 99 at the start of the year, so missed a year, and then did the 04 one in about round two and missed the year, and then did another one at the end of 05, which sort of, when I did that, I realised I was going to be another year out and the body had just had enough. So, yeah, unfortunately, just not many injuries, but big ones that just take a chunk of your season or the whole season out of the equation, which made it, you know, really difficult and hard. So, yeah, not good, but look, looking back on it, I would love to play in a premiership, obviously.
What was it like sitting in the stands? Because it must have been like a double-edged sword, because on one hand, your teammates have won a flag and you'd be stoked for them. Obviously, you'd have to be. You'd be super happy, but you're gutted because under normal circumstances, you're one of the first picked. So,
yeah. I mean, gutted was, the term, I suppose, especially the two or three years beforehand, we'd finished top or second and won 18 games against Brisbane and Essendon. They were the three good teams around then, and sort of hadn't taken an opportunity. But, you know, there's a little bit of, you got to get to that area and then lose one, and you got to keep batting up and turning up. You know, that's, history says that's what teams have got to do. You don't just turn up, win one, and it's all nice and rosy. So there's a lot of hard work gone into it, and 04 just felt like a year that we're going to go really well. We'd recruited a couple of senior guys. We'd had a real good talk about why we'd failed in finals, that team aspect. We thought we were a really good team, but we probably didn't all push the team barrow in the right direction, those sorts of things. So and to sit back and then just watch us keep winning again, and we're going to play finals, and so that what if individually grew in your head. But then, you know, as captain, you couldn't do too much. You weren't training or playing, but you know, I love the game. I love being around players. I love being in the locker room, all that sorts of things. So just being around, you know, got involved with the coaches, match committee, watching games, forward scouting games, all those sorts of things. So I loved getting involved in that. And, yeah, on the day, it was you're both emotions, you know, wrapped, ran down the ground, you know, hugged everyone, bawled my eyes out with a couple of my close mates. And then probably a couple of hours after, I just had a bit of time by myself, like, you know, the opportunity may have missed. You know, I was hoping next year we'd go again. It's, you know, amazing what Brisbane did, three in a row, and then made the fourth one, lost against Essendon and then made three in a row and then lost to us, so five in a row they made. Just that opportunity missed, because that's what we all play for, to win a flag with your mates.
Now, I have to ask the two obligatory questions. First one being toughest opponent as a player?
Oh, look, it's probably... there were some great ones, Scotty Wind and Sean Wren, and then towards my end, Michael Gardner and Dean Cox and Aaron Sandlins. Those kind of guys have become really top-line ruckmen. Probably in my early days, you know, I had Damien Monkhurst and Paul Salmon, and just big, strong 30-year-old guys against, you know, I was a bit late, developers, 21, but... They just whack you and bash you around, and as you could, you know, late 90s. So they were the hard ones. There was a guy from St Kilda, Lazar Vivadic, I think his name was, and he used to just clip me over the back of the head the whole time, and I was – those were the tough opponents, because you're a young kid learning your craft and you're coming up against big grown men. So early days, yeah, those senior guys were pretty difficult.
And best player played with?
Oh, Warren Treadray.
Best year.
Yeah, he was a – yeah, yeah. Once again, you don't appreciate when you're playing with superstars, you know, himself, Gavin Wanganeen, Chad Corns, those kind of guys. They were great players. You don't realise it when you're day in, day out with them, and it's not till you look back and go, wow, he some of the stuff he did and the games he won for us, and, you know, kicking the ball in his head the whole day and year after year after year, and had longevity of his career. But yeah, Treaders was an out-and-out superstar.
And so you then became, fast forwarding a touch, you became the senior coach of Port Adelaide. Now, that was, it probably didn't end.
No, it wasn't great, mate. Let's not sugarcoat it. It was a poor couple of years, but.
Why was that?
Oh, look, there was definitely, I wasn't as prepared if I had been, if I'd have gone, you know, I went out straight out of playing assistant coaching at the same club for 5 years, I think it was. Had the opportunity a couple of times to move to other clubs and keep learning from different environments and different coaches, but I didn't take it, you know, purely because I just loved the footy club. And then the opportunity arose when Mark was told to move on, and I caretaked for 8 weeks, I think, and loved it and applied for the job and got it. And at the time, I thought I was ready, but when you look back on it, you know, the ability not to work in other environments and see other things. It was just...
What was it that surprised you? Why weren't you... what was it that you've gone, holy shit, I wasn't expecting that?
It was probably more just learning different ways of handling different situations, because, you know, I was coached by the same senior coach, and I had some outstanding assistant coaches. Dean Bailey went on to coach Melbourne. Phil Walsh went to West Coast, had great success, then, you know, coached Adelaide for a couple of years. Alistair Clarkson for a few years. But it was probably more, not garnering enough experiences in other environments. And then, you know, when I applied for the job, I said, I'm just going to redo the whole list over and see what we've got, because we'd sort of reached the grand final in 07.
Yep.
Out of the blue. Were we ready or were we not? Who knows? But we sort of tried to get back there quickly again, and we probably sort of weren't ready for it. So, you know, and then I lost a few of the board members who appointed me as a coach, and all sorts of things. We were struggling financially, but, you know, in the end it didn't work and it was on me. But it was a great experience. I wouldn't knock it back again if that opportunity arose. You know, to be a senior coach of a footy club was I love the ride and learn a fair bit about myself, and you know, that didn't work out for a couple of years, and then jumped onto the next job and kept on going on.
What about Port Adelaide? Because as you say, again, I wasn't there, so I don't know, but from the outside looking in, it had kind of turned, the crowds weren't coming, they were putting those big canvas sheets, which looked terrible,
yep,
on the stands because there was no crowd. The board was, like, again, from the outside looking in, the board seemed like they were split, and then you're there sort of holding the can as the coach. You probably didn't have the list that you wanted. You know, it was kind of just a bit of a clusterfuck. Is that sort of what it was kind of like?
Yeah, well, like I spoke about at the start there, the stability of clubs is important.
Did it remind you of Fitzroy?
No, it was nowhere near there.
But like, could you...
A little bit. I think we had a pretty good list, because when Ken Hinckley took over, he got them going pretty quickly a couple of years later. It was probably every club has their ebbs and flows, and yep. I was there in the bit when we were going down the other way. You know, the great clubs, you know, apart from probably Geelong over the last 15 years. Every club, you know, Hawthorn, who were up there for a while, they've had a lean patch the last couple of years, and West Coast, not right down the bottom, but a bit of a lean patch. So it was...
Do you put it down to a bit of bad luck too?
I'm not sure bad luck. It was, you know, you always look, people, you know, there's an old saying in footy, don't take over after legend, you know, don't take, because it's where everyone compares you to Mark Williams did. And
Michael Voss with Lee Matthews.
A bit of that, yeah, all that stuff. So, but once again, if you're presented with an opportunity, you know, I could probably look back on myself and say, okay, I could say no to it and go somewhere else, but I just loved the football club and wanted the opportunity to coach them. And, you know, I said yes and dove into it and learned a fair bit about myself. So
you don't regret it?
No, no regrets at all.
No, good for you, man. That's really cool. No regrets. Just final question about it. What the stresses, though, being a senior coach, like, I mean, the last two or three weeks when it was going south, the media, especially in a two-team town like Adelaide, the media are going to be up your ass, and it's going to be horrible. Like, it really is. It's going to be awful. How did you deal with that personally?
Well, I suppose to a large extent, I was used to it, playing for the footy club and being the captain, and we had periods there where a lot of success, but then bombing out in finals. So, you know, we're called chokers there for a few years, and so you're used to the spotlight being on you. And living in Adelaide is a two-team town, so while Victoria, you know, Collingwood and Essendon might get a lot of the attention, it does get spread around another 10 clubs. Where in Adelaide, it's every day there has to be something on the radio and the TV and the newspaper. Even if there is nothing, there has to be something. So things can grow legs, and you know, normally when one team in Adelaide's going poor, the other team's going good. So then the spotlight grows even more, you know. So you look at Adelaide the last couple of years, the spotlight's been on them significantly because they've gone the other way, and Port have been pretty good. So, but it's just part of the caper. You know, I had a good family life, had young kids that weren't interested in footy, you know, per se, just wanted to come and play with Dad and do fun stuff, and my wife was a great support. So I was used to it as a player, so I didn't find it too bad.
And how does the body pull up now after, like, all these years of professional sport? You know, you're not a young man anymore, Matt.
Yeah, no, pushing 50, mate.
How does the body, when you get up in the morning, any aches and pains?
There's a few aches and pains, but nothing that doesn't stop me. I love being active, bike riding, running, swimming. The Gold Coast is a great place to live, you know, in the climate in that regard. There's you're always up in the morning, you know what it's like. You get up and there's people everywhere, isn't there, down the parks or beach or street or I like to keep fit, and the body's touch wood, not too bad at the moment.
Ah, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, Matthew. Do appreciate it.
No worries, mate. Great to talk to you.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly review. 5 stars is always good, and a friendly comment. Matthew's laughing. He's going to give it no stars.
No, give it 5. Especially this one.
Especially this one. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. So until next time, we will chat to you then.